Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's pray briefly. I have not been speaking in this forum before, so let's pray that I will remember any English words and not run away on the halfway through. So, thank you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. We just want to ask this time into your hands that your Holy Spirit would come and really bless us through that word that I'm going to share. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. First of all, I want you to see the title of this message this morning. It's called The Family That Jesus Loved. Presented by the Holy Spirit Movie Theater. So, Gospel of John is pretty sure that there was a family. You can see the hillside called Mount Olives. And on the top of that hillside, you can see little Bethany. And you can see Martha running around, attending all the different works in this house. You can see this little limestone house. She can, maybe she runs to the donkey that pulls around the olive press, gives this donkey a little food, and then she runs in the house. She's preparing for something. There's a guest in the house. His name is Jesus. And then, in the middle of this, all these works, you can also see her sister, Mary the meek, sitting at the guest's feet and listening, soaking every word. And taking it in, being blessed by it. Then in comes Mary, Martha the Unstoppable, and says, "Shouldn't she be helping me? Tell him, Master." And Master replies, "Well, she has chosen what is better, so let it be for now." So Mary the meek keeps listening. And Martha the Unstoppable keeps running. And there is a third member of that family. Probably he is over the valley, and on the other side of that valley there is the Jerusalem walls. And maybe he's just sitting at the lion's gate and talking to somebody. He's a well-known family in Jerusalem, as we learn later. But most of all, this was the family which Jesus loved. He loved being there. He loved coming, and coming several times. And when Gospel writer John speaks about Mary, he wants to make sure that we understand this is the Mary who anointed Jesus' feet with the expensive perfume and dried his feet with his hair. That is the story that she went into the books of earth and heaven and was remembered by. Probably this was the closest that Jesus had on this earth. And then is the Lazarus the Glorious. And when John starts to tell this story on that chapter 11 of Gospel of John, it says Lazarus was sick. And Jesus states that this sickness is not for death, but this is for glorifying the Son of God. So that is his purpose. It's not much said about him in the gospel, but this is pretty much actually his purpose was glorify the Lord. Now the sisters send message because Jesus is on the other side of Jordan. A little bit like on the retreat, because Jerusalem has been hostile against him already. There has been plots and things trying to kill him, so he has went at the side of the Jordan River. He is there with his disciples by the time Lazarus is sick, and the sisters have to send a message to him. The one that you love is sick. Please come. And guess what? There is no emails or other things, so it has to be a physical messenger that goes down to the same road which they often used to go. The people pass Jericho and down to the Jordan River and then to the other side where Jesus was. And it takes maybe a day or two to get there, more likely 2 days. It's about 70 miles maybe there. And this traffic of the messages take time. And when Jesus gets this message, Lazarus is sick, what he does, he still stays there where he is about 2 days. And then starts moving towards Jerusalem, towards Bethany. And the sisters are waiting and Lazarus is sick, and then suddenly Lazarus is dead. He's gone. And there is all this happening, this funeral. People come down from Jerusalem to be with the sisters and comfort them. And the sisters, Martha and Mary, they are confused why the teacher didn't come. Why is he? And finally there is news. Oh, the teacher is coming. The teacher is approaching to this village. And the message comes to the sisters. And guess what happens? Martha, the unstoppable, she runs. And Mary the meek stays at home. And when Martha gets to the master, she says, if you were here, my brother would have not died. There is this disappointment in her voice. Where were you when we needed you most? And there is this curious question, I think, about this story. Why the other sister stayed at home? The one who was so eager to listen, so open to the message, so obviously hot to the things that Jesus said, hot to the faith. Why she stayed at home? Why she was not running with Martha? What has happened to her? And later we learn that she was disappointed as well. She had the same questions and same statement. If you were here, my brother would have not died. Where were you? But with her questions, she stays at home, where the other people are, where the comforters are, all the people who came from Jerusalem. She's obviously disappointed. Dangerous things actually is disappointment. Getting disappointed in other people or in the life, or getting disappointed about the church or even God. Me and Katrin went to Hollybush one time, and there was this missionary talking. An interesting story that she was telling. He was a guy. And he was in America. He was in the middle of revival. And then he told the story how his love actually towards the Lord had actually grown cold. And he said, there is many things that you probably lose in life. You lose opportunities, time, sometimes people and so on. But there is one thing you can't afford to lose. And he said, you can't afford to lose your first love. But he also told how it happened. In the middle of revival, actually, he had kind of lost the close connection with the Lord. He had lost the love that he had. And back to Mary now, sitting home, disappointed. Dangerous thing it is. If it makes her to lose the first love that she had. She is listening all the voices around her, the comforters, the mourners, the people who are there. But there is one voice that is missing. And that is the voice of the Lord. And we don't know. we only can imagine what she was feeling or thinking. Oh, maybe this master is so important now. She doesn't care of us anymore. Why we are left alone like this, on the time like this, and so on and so on. You know, when the negative thoughts come to the mind, they are like this old-fashioned record. There is this little needle, and then there is the record, and then the record is broken. I don't know if any of you have had this, but I remember those. If the record is broken, it jumps. It jumps back and plays the same thing over and over again. So the pessimistic, self-pity thoughts, whatever they are, they just tend to play like this again. Oh, why am I here alone? Why nobody cares? Why the master doesn't care? Why he didn't come? And on this. So in addition to all the voices around, she must have had this little voice playing in her head. Why he didn't come? Why he was late, 4 days late? Why he was not here when we needed him most? Disappointments can actually quiet down your first love and mine first love if we let them in and if we let them play like this. Especially if we stay at home with them. Stay well with the other voices. But if the voice of the Lord is not there, it's a dangerous place to be, and Mary was in this place. So in meantime, Martha is talking to the Lord on the roadside outside of the village. And Martha has actually the same complaint to make to the Lord. If you were here, my brother would have not died. And but she's in the better place because she gets the answer straight away. The Lord says, well, your brother will rise again. And Martha replies, well, yes, I know. In the resurrection, in the last day, he will rise. So she is still in the position of theoretical faith, you know. She has all these ideas and teachings in place. She knows a lot. She had lived near Jerusalem all her life, and she has heard a lot of stuff. So she's well informed. There is no problem with that. But there is one thing that is going to change in this moment. She is going to learn to know the Lord on the level of resurrection power. From the theoretical knowing of things and understanding of the spiritual life and all that, she is going to step up and she is going to know the Lord on the resurrection power level. Your brother will rise. And Jesus is not meaning the last day. Jesus meaning this very day. This very day, Martha is going to learn about the resurrection power. And then Jesus asks, do you believe this? That there is a resurrection for your brother. And Martha replies, well, yes, I know that you are the Messiah, the one that is supposed to come to the world. And Jesus encourages her, yes. And then, if the talk is over, Martha now runs home and tells to her sister, teacher is here and he is asking for you. So now comes the affirmation, the confirmation that actually Mary was looking for. Oh, he actually still cares about us. He still is interested in us. So she rises up and goes to meet the Lord. And when Mary reaches to the Lord, we hear the same sentence again. If you were here, my brother would have not died. But Jesus was about to change this situation. And he asked, okay, show me where he is. And the gospel story tells us that he was deeply moved. He was feeling the compassion towards these people. All the Jews were weeping, and Mary and Martha there weeping as well. This was not just a ministry business for him. He was taking it personally. Having actual compassion towards these people. So we learn to know the Lord by this story, and we start to see, oh yes, actually he really is able to, the Son of God, the Messiah, he's able to come to our level and be here and mourn with us if it needs to be, and be with us and understands us actually. He's been in this place, so he understands. And then it also says that he was greatly disturbed. So he probably knew, and he had predicted a few times already, that there is going to be another event very soon. The event where he would be giving his life for the world and for everybody present, giving as a lamb of sacrifice. So probably he kind of understood that the Lazarus story was actually his story. And then Jesus approaches to this tomb where Lazarus was put. Me and Katrin, we were recently in Israel, a week ago actually, and we found this village called Bethany almost by accident. We wanted to go to Dead Sea actually, but we made a wrong turn and ended up in this hill. And it says, Church of Saint Martha and Bethany. And we drive around there, and then we found another monastery there, and there was a nun from Italy, and she was telling us, she was receiving us, giving us tea and telling us about this place. And then she showed us, oh yes, there is some tombs in the garden. They are not Lazarus' tombs, but they are probably similar. So we went to walk in this garden of olives, full of olive trees, and there was a cave in the ground. And the steps go down to this cave, and there is places around the walls, probably burial places, where they put the people. And if you walk out from this cave, you have steps. I have seen the pictures also, the Lazarus tomb. We couldn't go at the exact place because there is this big wall now. And the other side of the wall is the place called Palestinian Authority. So you can't go straight there. Only on a big detour if you want to go. But it felt for us like, okay, we have come to the spot, we have gone to Bethany. And it was pretty special to go down to this cave and walk out again on the steps. And when Jesus comes to the similar cave, which was covered with the stone, Martha tells, you don't understand. He has been there 4 days. He's smelling already. And Jesus says, take away the stone. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And they take the stone away. And Jesus shouts in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And you can imagine, somebody starts going up the steps. It takes time. Especially if you have been dead 4 days, it probably takes time to stand up and then start walking up the steps. There's a cave, and then you come up there, and there is light, and there is Jesus standing. But it must have been the seconds. You know how seconds, sometimes they can be long. I remember when I was in my last minutes in the hospital in Red Car, I was waiting for Katrin. Where is she? Well, I didn't have a watch, but where is she? She said, we'll already be here. Sometimes these minutes and seconds feel long. But there is something amazing about the Lord. He was 4 days late, but he was still on time. It was time to glorify the Lord. So there is something special with the times in our lives, brothers and sisters. If the Holy Spirit is working with us in our times, he can make times longer or shorter as it needs to be. And sometimes the time, even for these steps to walk up, it can be grace. Probably Lazarus needed this time, coming back to life. Maybe the other people needed also this time. Sometimes if things happen too quickly, it's overwhelming and can be shocked and can't take it all. So time is interesting territory, but I think this story makes us clear also that time is actually God's territory. Time is actually God's, under the God's protection and care. Time is His area. Often we treat time like our area. Oh, where is this? Where is that? Why late? Why so? And we are sometimes so caught up with the things in time, and sometimes time can feel like a curse. But this special time created by the Holy Spirit was actually for everybody involved to recover from the disappointments, to recover from the death actually, to walk out from this tomb. Time can be a grace. And the Lord is the master of the time. He has created it. So he has the rulership over the time. Whatever time you are in, you know that He is in charge. As this gospel song tells, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, it's all I'm asking from you. Show me the way, help me today, one day at a time. Sometimes we would like to be certain about tomorrow and other things, but I think the Gospels, over and over again, they make sure that live today. Make sure that you live today. Make sure that you are today together with the Lord, hearing His voice. Not staying with other voices, as Mary did in the beginning. She was not far, if you think about that, she was not far of losing very much, losing actually her love towards Lord and towards the kingdom and everything, just by sitting at home and not going to meet the Lord. But then the message came, the Master is waiting for you, the Lord is waiting for you, asking for you actually. So the Lord is asking for you. I'm certain that the Lord is asking for you today and me, and waiting for us to come closer and be blessed and learn to know him on the resurrection power level. That is where I'm sure he wants us to be, on that level. He wants to call us to that level. And it's possible. The leadership kind of event said recently, somebody said in their talking, he said, just a little bit of wisdom. Before you say how, say wow. Sometimes just this amazement about God's things and about what He can do is better if it comes before the question how. Because our human mind works that way, especially rational mind, right? How it's going to be? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? How are we going to work it out? But wow, the resurrection power is there for you and me. And step into that, what the Lord has for you right now. And you will have the how. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we have called by this gospel story to know the Lord on that level. And if I think about myself today, my testimony actually is this: I was the Lazarus, and you were the Jesus to me. You shouted, "Alari, wake up!" And the Lord woke me up. So you have actually already, you have the experience actually, operating and working in this power, the resurrection power. Keep going. Let's keep going, eh? Let's keep going on that level. Paul once asked his friends, his companions, "You started in spirit, do you want to finish in flesh?" "No, you don't want that. That is a miserable way to go. You started in spirit, you want to finish in spirit as well." Amen. Hallelujah. I had this thing in me to do a special action this morning. And this is about a friend. I would like us to do something that you did to me, to do it this morning also to a friend. We have a couple that we learned to know back in '90s, beginning of '90s. They got one of the first that came to Estonia and stayed in our house, Aled and Helen Griffith. And they introduced us some very important things like fivefold ministry and gift of spirit and other things. It was great times. But the thing is, Helen is very sick today. She's seriously sick with cancer. So I thought if we just do an act of faith this morning and reach our hand and say, "In the name of Jesus, Helen, be healed." So shall we stand and do this? I don't know how you did it last time. Counting on three, right? Okay, I count. South is that way, right? Because they live in Derby, near Nottingham, actually. So south is probably this way, so we reach that way. Okay, I count in three, and then we shout, "Helen, be healed." One, two, three. "Helen, be healed." In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.